listen to Alan for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
Hey, Alan here, and welcome to The Catch-Up. Big, big show today. Chatted to Samira, Margaret River's own, who was sadly sent home from MasterChef. We talked a bit about the World Cup and the fact that France is riding right now. No idea why that's going on. Where's your car conked out? Talked about that, and also our winner as well, who happened to win $1,000. That and much, much more on The Catch-Up. Enjoy. If you're anything like me, you would have been devastated last night to see our last WA contestant go home. And Margaret River's own Samira, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
You did so well. A lot of people were devastated to see you go home. I know my wife was very devastated because I knew the news a little bit prior to it because of the Eastern State difference, but my wife was crushed.
I know. It's been so devastating for so many people. I've been overwhelmed with the messages. And I'm very sorry to have disappointed WA.
No, that's okay. You knew you were going home. You after that cook, you looked very disenchanted right at the end there. Most people say that they know when they're going home, and that was almost like a certainty for you, wasn't it?
Look, when I saw that my panic order didn't set, that was the biggest sign that I will be going home. Yeah.
But you still did pretty well. You got to have some great experiences and meeting Prince Charles. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Look, there are so many amazing memories that I'll have. Like, I'll be telling to my grandchildren about meeting Prince Charles. I wouldn't have dreamt of it in my wildest dream. It's been so incredible. Like, Nigella, Gordon Ramsay, beautiful Maggie Beer. Just so many memories to go through. It's just been incredible.
Seeing that you are from the Southwest, will you be catching up with Nigella Lawson when she's here later in the year for the Gourmet Escape?
Well, I'm going to be at Gourmet Escape as well for the 2 days in the village with my little pop-up Lavash.
Love it.
So, yes, most probably going to be seeing Nigella.
That's really, really great. So what is the plan, that pop-up? What else have you got coming up?
I've got my photography business. I'm doing a photo shoot for local abalone company this Friday for their cookbook. And I've got my own cookbook coming up with recipes about Azerbaijani cuisine and illustrated photographs. And I'm planning a TV series about Azerbaijani cuisine and just travel around Azerbaijan and show it to Australians.
So long story short, you're pretty busy.
Oh, yes, my hands are full right now, but it's all exciting. It's the pieces of the same jigsaw puzzle, so it's fun doing it all.
No, it sounds great. Seeing that you are from the Southwest, what restaurants would you recommend? What are your favorite ones here?
I love Mickey's Open Kitchen, the Japanese fusion. It's so beautiful. And there are several that I love. I'm very humble, so I will say that Teddy's Big Spoon, the Korean restaurant, that it reminds me of my time in South Korea. And I love the Brew House.
Yeah,
I can go there with kids, and they just can run and play in a playground, and I can just sit down and eat my chips and watch them.
That's great. Before I let you go, what were you eating last night when you watched yourself be eliminated?
I was eating soft-shell tacos, and they were delicious.
I bet they were. Samira, thanks for that, and sorry that you got sent home.
Thank you.
France managed to win the World Cup against Croatia just the other night, and since then, it appears it's been non-stop celebrations in France, as you'd expect. However, I don't get it what it is with soccer fans, but the way they celebrate is by just causing mayhem. Police have been called, they were using tear gas, the riot squads were out, fire hoses, just absolutely ridiculous, which is why, France, I dedicate this song to you. Ma chérie, mademoiselle, it is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we won the World Cup last night. Now we must go to the streets in a fashion that is not quiet, because if there's one thing soccer fans are good at, it's a riot. Be a pest, be a pest, put our emergency services to the test. Throw a brick through our window aggressively and make France a mess. Vive la France, we strike a nerve while we won what we deserve. Heard of sportsmanship, it's fictitious. Imagine if we lost, we'd be more malicious. They can punch, kick some ass, but look out for that tear gas. French supporters are actually the worst. Go on, celebrate your win. Take a 4-year glance in, then you'll make a mess out of France. Come on, France. Pull your head in. Stop destroying your own country. It's weird. Talking all things Collie, I reach out to Kim from YI hashtag Visit Collie. Good morning this morning. How are ya?
Yeah, I'm good, Alan. How are you?
I am doing well. You reached a couple of milestones. 4,000 likes on the Facebook page. That's great.
Yeah, look, we're really excited. It's fantastic. Our popularity just keeps on going and increasing. Yeah, so we're really excited about that.
And I think that's kind of a not only a testament to how good a job you guys are doing, but Collie just seems to be on the up and up at the moment.
It is. It seems to be coming to the new place to go and check out. So, yeah, I get out and about around town and it's just great to see that many visitors coming in and seeing all the great things that we've got.
I was there on Wednesday last week, had a bit of fun just looking around, took my wife there. She hadn't been a Collie prior to that. And, yeah, it's great. We went to all the, you know, typical tourist spots, honeymoon pool and whatnot. A little bit quieter than I expected. I knew it was school holidays, but I thought it'd be a little bit busier. I guess just because it's cold, maybe.
Look, I think that does keep people away a bit, the cold. But, you know, in all honesty, I was out there yesterday and it's absolutely magnificent out there this time of year.
Oh, it's so stunning, isn't it?
If you keep a watch on the weather and snag yourself a couple of warm days, it's beautiful. And to take advantage of a lot of the walk trails that start from Honeymoon Pool, you can see all the signage out there.
Yeah.
And over at Potter's Gorge, there's an amazing little bike track for the big kids and even the grown-ups. And yesterday there was a couple of families out there and the kids were having a go with the bikes on the track. Just awesome fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, speaking of tracks, I know that the bike trails have been going absolutely crazy at the moment, but we've heard a couple more things in the works.
We do. This week we held our Trail Town Forum. There's been lots of planning going on behind the scenes for many, many months. But this week, all that information was released to the local community and business owners. A trail town basically means that Collie will become equipped with world-class mountain bike trails and walking and other trails. And businesses will be coached and specifically set up to meet the needs of these trail users. So there'll be great places to stay, great places to eat, places where you can securely store your bike overnight.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Everything that you need.
That's great. Well, yeah, like I said, Collie is definitely on the up and up and more moves like this are definitely encouraged. Kim, thank you for the chat today. Of course, if you want more information, they always go to the Facebook page, YI hashtag Visit Collie. Thank you.
Cool, thanks, Alan.
Honk out for cash yesterday. It rained, it poured. The car almost got bogged a million times. But we did end up with one winner, and I have him on the line right now. Dion, congratulations, mate.
Oh, thanks very much. What a buzz.
$1,000. How great is that?
That's awesome. Yeah, thank you, Bunbury 4x4. Happy birthday, and Ironman. And Triple M.
So you're sitting there watching on the Facebook. If you're anything like me, constantly, every time it stops, you're like, is this it? Is this it? And then it would start going again.
That's it. When it'll get bogged, my heart would stop. And then, yeah, it was like a roller coaster ride, 3-hour roller coaster ride.
When you drew out your section with me yesterday morning, were you feeling confident right from the get-go?
I was hoping to get number 4 or section D. And yep. Yeah, I don't know. It just sort of all panned out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
So what are you going to do with $1,000?
Sort of, I don't know, thinking holiday next year, airline yep. tickets or something.
Yeah, smart, mate. Well, get out of this cold and miserable weather and especially at a place that could bog you like we had yesterday at the Bunbury Turf Club. Congratulations, mate, and thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
No problem. Dion there, our winner from yesterday's massive conk out for cash. A massive shout out to the Turf Club, the Bunbury Turf Club, for letting us be there. Not only did they let us rip up their lawn, but they also helped us get to and from the car because that thing was getting bogged like consistently. Also, they mowed out the little patch that we drove in. Just really massive effort from them. And of course, Bunbury 4x4 for putting up the $1,000 cash, the home of Ironman 4x4, turning 4, deals in store this month. Yeah, it's huge effort. If you're wondering where the Street Patrol is today, it is at the mechanics. Turns out the Street Patrol doesn't like being driven in first gear for like 3 hours. Turns out, yeah. But geez, that was a bit of fun. And poor Sue, she got motion sickness like the whole time. So, yeah, We'll be doing that in a hurry, but I'm looking forward to the next dumb thing that we do here at Triple M. Where has your car broken down? Where is it conked out and left you high and dry? Got Debbie on the line from Dardanup. Debbie, how are you?
I'm awesome. I'm just heading to work. How nice.
Are you heading to work in a working car?
Yes, I am this morning.
Well, we were asking on 132710 your conk out story. What have you got for me?
I pulled up at the petrol station and I had went to get in my car and it wouldn't go.
Oh, at the petrol station?
Yeah.
You're obviously not running out of fuel if you're at a petrol station.
No, it was something to do with the fuel gauge or something in the tank. I'm not really sure. I can't remember. It was a while ago now.
Were you actually at a pump when you conked out?
Yes.
So they obviously had to push you out of the way because you had a lot of paying customers that were like, oh, come on.
Yes, I did. It was actually quite embarrassing because everyone was looking at me and I'm going, oh, my God, what am I going to do?
Oh, no. That's my nightmare. Like, I mean, getting stuck out in the middle of nowhere is bad, but getting stuck somewhere where everyone's just watching you sounds even worse.
Yeah, and especially at a fuel station.
100%. Debbie, thanks for your call.
Yeah. No worries. Thank you. You have an awesome day.
I will do. Yeah, you don't want that. Darren on the line, mate. Take it away.
How you going?
Doing pretty good, mate. Where has your car let you down?
I was in Victoria, and I just bought a 1966 Rambler.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a tank. It was huge, you know. I had to use a megaphone to speak to my wife on the other side of the car. So I had the missus and the two kids in the car, and both the kids had dressing gowns and pajamas on. Mm-hmm. And I just bought the car from my brother-in-law. And I said to him, look, is the car good? Yeah, 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 no worries, mate. So we got about like 20 k's out of town in the middle of the bush, and every seal in the motor blew. So, of course, we're stuck on the side of the road. So we end up hitchhiking in the rain.
No.
With the kids in their pajamas and dressing gowns. So, yeah, that was probably the best one, I think.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. it's my biggest fear. It really, really is. But, yeah, at least we could laugh about it now, but can't we, really?
It wasn't laughing at the time, mind you.
But that's the best stories, really, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Definitely.
Thanks for your call, mate. I appreciate it.
Too easy.
I want to turn attention for just half a second to something else the Busselton police have been up to, as they've managed to find what is a very, very unlikely item in the back of someone's car. Now, they just did a routine check. They happened to find a meth pipe in the back of the car, which obviously is no good. But something that's got a lot of people talking is they managed to find what looks like a spud gun on steroids. It is absolutely massive. It basically looks like a bazooka, and it's meant to shoot spuds. It's been made out of one of those things that they use to inflate tyres with real quick. The cops actually put a picture of it up on their Twitter account, the Busselton Police. The police officer there looks very happy to be holding it, but it looks like some kind of monstrosity that could cause a bit of damage. It literally does look like a huge, massive, like, cannon of a thing. If you get the chance to check it out, you can find it on the Twitter page for the Busselton Police. We've also got up on our Facebook page at Triple M Southwest, but yeah, geez, just a monster of a thing, really. Yes, we are doing it for the Palmy Army to join the revolution. A call to palms. I've got Mark from Busso on the line, mate. Give it to me. Give me what I want to hear.
Palmy Army, Palmy Army, Palmy Army, Palmy Army.
Yeah, that's an interesting chant, but we'll take it. Mate, I'll see you at the Dunsey. It's going to be an absolute blast. Going to enjoy some palmies together, all right, mate? Thanks for listening.
Awesome, see you there.
There you go. It's just that easy. Yes, today we will be at the Dunsey Tavern, dining, drinking, dancing. Destination, always the Dunsey Tavern. We'll be there for lunch. We had a bunch of callers just through before. A little bit of a hint for tomorrow's destination for our Palmy Army. We're going to be in Dunsborough again. That's all I'm going to say. 132710 tomorrow is the number to call when you do hear the Palmy Army chant. We all care about our kids when it comes to road safety, which is why it's so great to see that there's a brand new way to teach them just that. From the Constable Care Child Safety Foundation, I have the CEO on the line, David Gribble. Let's dive into this. You guys have created a brand new app to help kids stay safe on the roads.
That's exactly right. Unfortunately, kids are overrepresented in the road statistics in Western Australia, and we're obviously keen to change that. So with assistance from the Road Trauma Trust account and the Road Safety Commission from funding, we've actually created an app to teach particularly kids in regional and remote areas better road safety and travel skills.
Absolutely. This is great. Now, kids are like on apps from like baby age, I notice these days, so it's good that you've taken the modern technology approach.
Absolutely. And look, schools use them too. And the thrust of this is really to try and get this learning into the classroom so that teachers can actually have engaging lessons around road safety for their kids, particularly in primary schools. So it's designed to be used in class. We know, of course, that WA primary schools all have iPads available for their students. So we've built it for that environment.
Absolutely. What actually will they take away from the lessons?
So there's six scenarios in the app. It's free for download, and it's got a whole bunch of tools built in there that allows the teacher to actually monitor how the students are going, see who's getting stuff right, who's not, reports everything back to them for the curriculum outcomes that they need for that classroom learning. But for the kids, it's really engaging. So what they're seeing is full 360-degree sound effects and video of characters in risky travel situations right on their desktop in class. They can go around it. It's completely 360 degrees. They can zoom in and out. They can hear what's going on. And, of course, they can interact with those characters. So they can decide, do they cross the road when they've just got off the bus, in front of the bus or behind the bus, or should they walk to the nearest pedestrian crossing?
Yeah.
So they can actually make decisions for the characters and see the consequences.
Yeah, that's really, really good. I know that we've been talking about, with adults these days, almost like a feud between cyclists and motorists, but I feel like if we start young, teaching them to have a little bit of understanding about a cyclist situation on the road, then we could get a whole new generation of patient drivers.
Absolutely. And look, there's even a scenario in there, a couple around cycling. One that's particularly relevant for kids about cycling within school zone drop-off areas, and another one around should you walk your bike across a pedestrian crossing or ride it across, as we know many adult cyclists do. So there's some really good initial learnings in there as well. And as you say, better to start them young on those sort of lessons.
100%, mate. Well, thanks for the chat today. And this is great knowing that the next generation is going to be even more road safety conscious. That's great.
No worries. Thanks for the opportunity to talk.